Thank you very much, Josh, and a very good morning to everyone. It's no surprise why I've chosen this subject a week today. Probably a lot of people are going to church either Saturday evening, Sunday morning, or even Sunday evening to remember what they consider to be the day in which the Lord Jesus Christ was born. And even a lot of those who go to those services will realise he wasn't born on that day, but it's just a convenient date that was sort of set in place many, many centuries ago for them to remember the birth of Jesus. So I thought we'd just have a little look at the actual account of the birth of Jesus. There are lots of questions that would need to be asked, and we'll ask one or two of them, but there are lots of other things that would need to be said, but we haven't got the time to look at those at all this morning. We've got two accounts of the birth of Jesus. The one we've just read in Matthew, which revolves around the wise men coming from the east to bring their presents and then going home again. And where we're going to start, which is in Luke chapter 2, the birth relating to the shepherds receiving the message from the angel to go down to see the newborn babe, and they go away. Mary and Joseph do those things that they are supposed to do according to the law of Moses, the Jewish law, and then they leave to go back to Nazareth. And the picture that we have so often, as we've probably seen it, we went to our youngest son's nativity play on Thursday, and it was, you know, the usual story of everything going on at the same time, the birth, the shepherds and the wise men, when in fact that was not actually what happened. And so people might say, well, it doesn't really matter, but it's an indicative attitude that, you know, well, it doesn't really matter, you know, whether this is right or wrong, as long as we've got a feeling, as it were, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth, where, in fact, it is very instructive to actually understand accurately what we are being told in the Word of God about this birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, which then obviously follows on to lots of other things in the Bible where we need to be accurate, otherwise we can end up with all sorts of erroneous ideas. So we'll start in Luke chapter 2, and we'll have to go through some of these sort of fairly quickly. It came to pass in those days, there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world, that's the habitable world, the world of the Roman Empire, should be taxed. And this was first made when Cyrenius, or Quirinius, was governor of Syria. And there's a whole host of information around that, because there are those who say, well, when this happened, Cyrenius was not the governor of Syria. So, you know, right from the very beginning, what we're reading here is just a made-up story. And there's a lot of information that we need to look at to show the accuracy of what we're actually being told here. But that's just really by way of information. So they all had to go back, everyone to his own city in verse 3. And so Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And that's very important when we look at other aspects of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his birth, especially the promises that were made in the previous chapter. But that's a whole other sort of understanding of the birth of Jesus. But the important part is that Joseph and Mary, who was not at that time his wife, were living in Nazareth, right in Galilee, which is about 90 miles from Jerusalem. So it's not an insignificant journey, even by today's standards, but when you consider they had to do it either by foot or on a donkey or a camel or whatever it might be, it would take some time and some preparation. And so they travel all the way down to Bethlehem, which is the city of David. In Bethlehem in Ephrata, because there was another Bethlehem not very far from Nazareth, as it happened. So it's very precise in the information that would be being given here. And verse 6 says, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in the manger, because there was no room in the inn. And again, we need to perhaps spend a little time looking at that. And there's a very interesting connection with that going back into the book of Jeremiah in terms of the inn. But again, that's other information that we haven't got time to look at. And so there were the shepherds in the field keeping watch by night. The angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So watch the glory of the Lord. Or some will say it's what's called the Shekinah glory. And that really means it's a cloud of brightness which symbolises divine presence. So it was an immensely bright light, as it were. And so the message is passed on to the shepherds. Verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, because in this day, in the city of David, is born a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And again, that's a very important little phrase that we would need to sort of delve into a lot deeper on another occasion. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. So we'll just pause there for a moment and just sort of revisit. When did this take place? I've already indicated, and a lot of people who actually celebrate it know it wasn't on December the 25th. And again, we need to spend some time looking into this. But Jesus was probably born round about the end of September, the beginning of October. There are a number of ways of looking at this, and one of them is actually thinking about the birth of his cousin, John the Baptist, who we know was 6 months older. So the question is, when was John born? Not sure when he was born, but when was the time of his impending birth made known? And it was when Zechariah, back in Luke chapter 1, was doing his service in the temple. And from that basis, we can sort of work out the time when both John was born and also the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, that would take up far too much time at looking at this. So it was accepted by those who've really looked into it that Jesus was born around about September, October time. Now, if we go back to the narrative now, the shepherds go down to see the birth of the baby, and in verse 16, they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And it's interesting, it's not actually conclusive proof by any stretch, but it's interesting that here he's referred to as the babe, as he is earlier in the chapter. In verse 12, and the word there for babe is the Greek word brephos, which means either newborn or even unborn child. So we're dealing with actual birth of, you know, sort of a baby at the instant of birth, as it were. As we'll see when we get to Matthew, there's a different word used there. But having said that, this is where we have to be fair, if we look at what's said about John the Baptist, he is described as both an unborn babe and a child when he is actually born. But it's just interesting that Luke uses the word which means a newborn baby, whereas Matthew uses a word, which we'll see in a moment, which means it's basically a little toddler. And this is part of the difficulty of reconciling the two accounts that we have, which on their own seem very, very, you know, sort of straightforward, but it's trying to reconcile all of them together. And so if we go back into the record, the shepherds, verse 20, returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. It was told unto them. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, verse 21, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her, Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And so we would need to go back and say, well, what's all this purification? We need to go back to Leviticus chapter 12, where it tells us what had to be done, the child being circumcised, a male child, at the 8 days after the birth. And then there's this time of purification, which for a male child is 33 years, and for a female child is 33 days, and for the female child, 66 days, you know, double the amount of time where the purification had to be made. And then there was also an offering that had to be made. And so, if you carry on in verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, that's Leviticus 12, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy of the law. That's actually from Exodus, the bit about the purifications in Leviticus. And then verse 24, to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. And it just simply says here, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. But there are other things that could be offered. But these were the offerings of poor people who couldn't afford a lamb. And so Mary and Joseph offered the poor people's sacrifice here. And then we have the incident of Simeon in verse 25. There's a lot of information there to do with what Simeon says and this newborn babe. And then a bit later on in verse 36, we have Anna, a prophetess, introduced to us. And again, there are interesting things said about that. And then we come down to verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. So they've come down because of the taxing, the census. Jesus is born in Bethlehem, as is prophesied. The shepherds come down. They see the baby. The baby is taken to be circumcised. The purification takes place. The incident of Simeon and Anna. And then they travel back to Jerusalem. And all of that would take place probably in this region of about 6 weeks or so, depending obviously how soon they travel down to Bethlehem in the first place. But it's about 6 to 8 weeks maximum. And somewhere in there, the wise men have to turn up and do their bit, as it were, with all the presents. And some say, well, it was just after the birth, a little bit later than the birth, so they weren't there at the same time as the shepherds, and they came a little bit later, then disappeared. But the interesting point there would be, if they've come down with gold, frankincense and myrrh, and Mary and Joseph are offering the poor people's offering for the purification, then you think, well, why didn't they offer something much more substantial like the lamb, because they had all this wealth? So they say, well, the shepherds came, the wise men came even after that, perhaps after all the purification had taken place, just before they were leaving. And that's how we can fit all those things together. But as we shall see, there is quite a problem that we need to sort of fit into this. So then, that briefly, and I said there are other things that need to be looked at, is Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. So let's go to our reading, Matthew chapter 2, and look at what we read there, and see what the problem is and how it needs to be resolved. Interestingly, in the version that Josh read, it says, "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem," as opposed to when, and if it says after, it could be, well, how long after? A day, a week, a month, who knows, as it were. But what Matthew is saying is, what I'm going to relate to you now is to do with, related to, the birth of Jesus. Behold, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem. And again, we all know the question, well, you know, they're all presented as three kings, the Magi, and they've been given names. But how many were there? We're not told. And I suppose in one sense that doesn't really matter. But they came from the east. They came from, it would seem, a considerable distance to see this newborn baby, this newborn king, it would appear. And so we ask the question, well, why? Why did they come? How do they know all about it? And we could go back into aspects of Daniel's prophecy and so on to find out the reason why these wise men came to see this newborn babe. What was the reason, the relevance of that? And again, we haven't got time to go into that. So when Herod, verse 3, the king, had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Because in verse 2, they have said to him, where's this king of the Jews? And so they hadn't heard about this. Herod hadn't heard about this. And so he and all Jerusalem, no doubt the religious leaders of Jerusalem, because they knew they hadn't had a king since the last king over 400 years ago, Zedekiah, had died. And so when he had gathered all the chief priests, this is Herod, and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. not where Jesus should be born, because nobody would know he was the Messiah. It was the Messiah. Where is this king going to be born? And so they say to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, not Bethlehem up in Galilee, Bethlehem of Judea, for this is as written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes, for out of thee shall come a governor, and shall rule my people Israel. And that's from Micah chapter 5. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. Why bother with all that? He wants to know exactly what time, when they were way off in the east, they had seen the star, whatever the star is. And again, some say it is a form of the Shekinah glory, the glory of the Lord, a miraculous sort of a marvellous light. Now, again, if you look into this, you'll say, some say it was a star in the sky, and when three stars were in line together, they followed those stars. But we all know, you know, I could look at a star there, and somebody 500 miles away could look at the same star, and it's above us, but it isn't, because it's 500 miles between us, and the star's millions of miles away, perhaps. So there's something special about this star, as it were. And Herod wants to know exactly when they saw it, and really how long it took them to get where they were to see Herod. And he said to, and he sent them to Bethlehem, because that's where they've been told he's going to be born. They assumed it would be Jerusalem, capital city. And he said to them, go and search diligently again for the young child, not the babe. This is the Greek word paedion, where they get paediatric from. So this is a young child. Now, how old's a young child? Is it when they start walking? Is it when they go to school? Who knows? But it's a different word. Of itself doesn't prove anything, but it's just interesting that Luke, as I say, uses the word for a baby, whereas Matthew uses the word which is predominantly used for a young toddler, if you like, a little child. And when you have found him, going back to verse 8, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So obviously it can't be a terrestrial, a celestial star. It's got to be some sort of manifestation, perhaps very similar to that which brought the shepherds down as well. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, so they haven't gone to the stable, the manger, or whatever it was. They've actually gone into a house. Now, it could be argued that, well, he was born in a manger, but they were there, don't forget, for the best part of 6 weeks. So they moved from the manger into a house somewhere. That's possible. But whatever it was, these wise men came to a house, and they saw the young child, the toddler, with Mary his mother, fell down, worshipped him, opened their treasures, and presented unto him gifts of the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Because it's only a few miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. And it wouldn't be anything inconvenient for the wise men to travel from Bethlehem to go back to Jerusalem and say, oh, we found him, he's there in Bethlehem in this particular house. But they are warned in a dream not to do that, and so they depart back to where they came from. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So he rose, took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And hopefully you can see the problem now. If they're in Bethlehem, they go to Egypt. In Luke's account, they're in Bethlehem and they go back to Nazareth. They can't go to both places at the same time. So it's trying to reconcile this discrepancy, so it would appear, into the narrative. Now there are those who say that, well, what actually happened was that the wise men, having learned from the scribes and the religious leaders at the request of Herod, being told that he was in Bethlehem. They went to travel to Bethlehem, but this star took them not to Bethlehem, but 90 miles north to Nazareth. And that's where they went into the house to see the little toddler Jesus. Because when they came, it was probably about 18 months after Jesus was born. That's why he's not referred to here as a baby. He's now a little toddler, you know, walking about, as it were. But let's suppose for the moment that they are still in Bethlehem, which is where I believe that they were. Because if they were in Nazareth, are they going to travel 90 miles all the way back again just to let Herod know that they've seen him? Surely they would travel from Nazareth back to where they came from, over in the east. But if they're in Bethlehem, then there is no problem. Plus the fact that if it was in Nazareth where these wise men went to, what was the need for Mary and Joseph to leave Nazareth and travel all the way into Egypt, past the very place where the problem was going to exist if we read on? So then, if we go back into verse 14, when he, Joseph, arose, he took the young child and Mary by night and departed into Egypt, remembering now that they've got gold, frankincense and myrrh. So they might have travelled down again, but why did they travel down again? We'll come to that in a moment. They've got this considerable wealth. So in one sense, they were set up to travel, you know, having left everything they owned behind back in Nazareth, travel down into Egypt, but they've got a means of existing, of subsisting, because they've got gold, frankincense and myrrh. Because we don't know what happened to that, but I suggest they probably used it to buy things as they travelled down to Egypt, and when they stayed in Egypt, and when they came back again. So verse 15 says, and was there, they were in Egypt, until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. The same phrase used of the nation of Israel, who was the son of God as a nation. Now it's being reenacted with the son of God. Now verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts, means the borders, the area surrounding Bethlehem, which remember is only a few miles outside of Jerusalem, thereof from what? From 2 years old and under. Why 2 years old and under? If this is a newborn babe, not yet 8 weeks old, 6 weeks old, why is Herod saying, I want every child, male child, under the age of two? All he's got to do is kill the babies. He doesn't go to kill the little toddlers. Because he's inquired diligently, you see, of these wise men, when they saw the star, and basically how long they've been travelling. That's why I say this is probably some 18 months after the events back in Luke with the shepherds, with a little baby, that the wise men were never there. This event took place, in my view, 18 months later, when the Lord Jesus was about 1.5 years old. From 2 years old and under, according to the time, going back to verse 16, which he had diligently inquired of the wise men, then was fulfilled that which is spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. And it goes back to quotations back from the Old Testament about the terrible events of Herod, because of the birth of this baby, killing all the male children of 2 years old and under. So he's hedging his bets, you know, if they're nearly three. Now, I don't suppose for a minute he went around to every individual and said, what was the date of your son's birth? He just knows that this is a little toddler that can run about. So we'll make it 2 years old. So it may be that some who were three or four were killed. But we're not talking about the killing of little babies now, are we? And verse 19, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. He arose, took the young child, his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And one suspects that they went back to Jerusalem, because that's where kings live, as it were. Or perhaps even to Bethlehem itself, because that was the lineage of David, that's where his family came from. But verse 22, when he had heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. And again, we need to look into the history of Herod and Archelaus and their relationship and what was going on there. Notwithstanding, verse 22, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, they'd left Nazareth, gone, I believe, down to Bethlehem. Wise men, everything we've read. Then they have to travel from Bethlehem down into Egypt, which makes sense if Herod is going to kill all the young children in and around Jerusalem and Bethlehem, then the baby or the little toddler Jesus would be in grave danger. And so they are told to leave there to go to Egypt. It seems to me there is no point in the angel telling Mary, Joseph and the 18-month-old Jesus, if they're in Nazareth, 90 miles away, to leave for fear of their lives, because the slaughter of the innocents, as it's called in the paintings, would go nowhere near Nazareth. They should have stayed there, but they didn't. And to suggest, well, they still have to travel from there to fulfill the prophecy, I think he stretched things far too far. They'd have to travel down, but virtually going past Jerusalem, or give it a wide berth to get into Egypt. For what reason? For no other reason than to fulfill the prophecy. Now, I don't think those things work that way. But if they are in Bethlehem, then it would make perfect sense. But why then were they in Bethlehem? 18 months after the birth of Jesus. They've travelled back to Nazareth, we've read that, and they've carried on there living their life. The little baby has become a little toddler now. So what were they doing in Bethlehem? Because actually in this record, it doesn't say they were there, it just says that the wise men went there. And the conjecture is, well, they didn't really go there, they then travelled north because the star told them to go to Nazareth. But we've got that problem that I've just mentioned to you. So let's go back into Luke's gospel, because I think Luke gives us the answer as to what I think actually happened, why they were in Bethlehem. So the wise men do travel to Jerusalem, are inquired of diligently by Herod, what time did you set off, how long has it taken you, and he's worked out the calculations, well, this newborn king isn't a baby now, he's a little toddler. And so when they don't come back to tell Herod, he says, right, the only information I've got is in Bethlehem, and he's a little toddler. He's 2 years old, a bit under, but to cover every circumstance, I'll make sure I'll kill all the child's 2 years above and under. That wouldn't make any real sense. And it would be the death of lots of children for no apparent reason, as it were. But in Luke chapter 2, we finished off by looking at verse 39. And when they, that's Mary and Joseph, had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. Now, just retracing my steps a moment. When they came out of Egypt, they could have gone back to Nazareth, but this is the Son of God. He's born in Bethlehem. He's destined to be the King of Jerusalem. We'll settle in Jerusalem, or at least Bethlehem. That would seem reasonable, wouldn't it? But as we just read, when they found out that Archelaus was there, they thought, there'll still be trouble, so we'll go back to where we came from. And so they did. Verse 40. This is, again, remembering going when they went back with the little sort of 8-week-old baby Jesus. going back to Galilee, to Nazareth. But verse 40 says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. That's why they were there. And that's why I believe the wise men went to Bethlehem, because that's where they were told to go to because of the prophecy, to find the baby Jesus. But it wasn't a baby, and he wasn't in a manger. He wasn't in a crib. He wasn't in a cave or a hut or whatever. He was in a house, because there was no taxing now. You know, the place would be inundated, but every year, because they were faithful Israelites, Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they probably stayed in Bethlehem, where they would probably have relatives. And that's why they were there, because they went every year. Not once in a blue moon, or now on this special occasion when, as we carry on reading, he was 12 years old. So when Jesus was born, they'd go back to Nazareth, and they would come back down at Passover time, end of March, April time, to keep the Passover. Every year they did that. And so they would come down a year later, well, not a year later, the next time after Jesus was born, when he was probably 6 months old, but he would still be a baby. And they would travel back again. And they would come down the following year when Jesus was now 18 months years old or thereabouts. That's when the wise men came and everything we've read unfolded, with Herod asking diligently and so on. And that's why they were told then to flee from there to Egypt, which makes perfect sense, because of what was going to happen with Herod and the killing of all the two-year-olds and under. Then they go down into Egypt, and then they come back up in. We're going to go to Jerusalem, but go back to Nazareth where they came from. And then the rest of the history or the life of the Lord Jesus Christ takes place. And the next thing we know after this is that what we read here in chapter 2 of Luke, when he was 12 years old, because every year they went to Jerusalem, they came down, and the rest carries on until we get to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is 30 and leaves home. And again, it can be looked at from other parts of scripture. He was about 33 and a half when he died. Again, if you look at the information, you can glean from all sorts of places. There are all sorts of conjectures, but some of them could be dismissed immediately. Others could be brought down to one or two things. But I think looking at these two events, and particularly verse 41, reconciles everything. Shepherds come, he's born as a little child, a little baby. They travel back down again. Wise men then come, everything else unfolds. That's when they go down to Egypt. Now, not with, you know, just not two pennies to rub together, but with all this wealth of the gold, frankincense and myrrh, which would help them to live naturally, as it were, back in Egypt until they came back into the land of Israel and eventually went back to Egypt. So a lot of information packed into sort of just over half an hour. And as I say, lots of other things that could be discussed and talked about. So what is a seemingly sort of simply presented narrative to us, when we see nativity plays, there's a lot more going on there, and a lot of it is to do with sort of fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So hopefully you found that of interest and sort of helped us to understand a bit more about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.